Earlier this week, we told the story of a right to information request refused by the town of Sackville and by the provincial ombud, the person in charge of overseeing New Brunswick's Right to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, or RTIPA. Local journalist Bruce Wark had asked to see a copy of a report submitted by Montana Consulting, a contractor hired by the town of Sackville to do a workplace assessment of the Sackville Fire Department shortly after Wark's coverage exposed allegations of harassment and bullying in the service. Wark told CHMA that he found the outright refusal to share any information from the report strange.
I don't think that that would fly in Nova Scotia, frankly, or Ontario, or anywhere else I've worked. I just think this is a, you know, peculiar thing in New Brunswick.
This got us thinking, where does New Brunswick sit when it comes to access to information? To find out, we called up Toby Mendel, the director of the Center for Law and Democracy, an organization dedicated to promoting the human rights under which underpin democracy, such as freedom of expression and right to information. The center works globally, but also casts its gaze onto democratic rights in Canada. According to Mendel, New Brunswick is indeed at the bottom of the pile when it comes to access to information in Canada. The center created an RTI, or Right to Information, rating system, which it has applied globally and within Canada.
It's a fairly sophisticated methodology for assessing the strength of legal frameworks. And we have assessed essentially all of the national frameworks in the world. And Canada is in 52nd place from among the 137 countries that we've assessed. So, I mean, 136, actually. If Canada was in 52nd place on women's equality, I think Canadians would be going nuts about it. That's not a good place to be in the world for a country with democratic credentials generally of Canada.
And within Canada, the center found that New Brunswick tied for last place alongside Alberta when it comes to the strength of its legal framework for ensuring public access to information.
Definitely the fundamentals are wrong, fundamentally wrong in New Brunswick, worse than anywhere in Canada, and that's within a framework of very poor performance as compared to the rest of the world, essentially.
Mendel says he cannot speak to how the law is implemented in New Brunswick, just to the basics of the law itself.
A weak law will have overbroad, vague exceptions, so people who are minded to be obstructive can rely on them to refuse access. Sounds a little bit like that might be what's going on in this case.
Of course, it's not just a matter of weak laws. There's also how the law is overseen, and Mendel points out at least one peculiarity with how Bruce Wark's complaint was handled. Wark originally dealt with an investigator from the Ombuds office who backed the town's position, citing a section of the RTIPA that excludes the substance of personnel investigations. After Wark pursued his complaint, the investigator doubled down, citing another section of RTIPA that might fit the argument to keep the report from the public. That reaction from the Ombuds office caught Mendel's attention.
The purpose of the Ombud is to review the decision of the town, or the decision of the original decision maker, not to, you know, go through and see if there are additional reasons to refuse to give access. If the town didn't raise an exception, I don't really see why the Ombud should be doing that. So I thought that was peculiar and doesn't give me a great sense that this person wishes to strongly promote access to information.
We reached out to the Ombud's office to ask about the practice of an investigator advocating on behalf of a public body during a complaint process, but we're told the office did not comment on complaints it handled. There's at least one other case documented on the Ombud's website where the Ombud or an investigator has advanced an additional reason to refuse access to information, one that had not originally been advanced by the public body.
One of the hallmarks, as we have experienced it around the world, between a well-functioning and a poorly functioning system, apart from the quality of the law and a few other factors, is the strength of the oversight system, where you have a strong, active, engaged oversight body, whether that's an information commission, an information commissioner, or an ombudsman, that tends to promote much better implementation.
The intricacies of how right to information laws work tends to be about the exceptions they allow. If you ask the Provincial Department of Finance and Treasury about the law they are responsible for, the RTIPA, you might hear a statement like the one spokesperson Erica Jetris shared with us. Access to information is a key element of any democratic society and something our government takes very seriously. There's not many that would disagree, but that value is balanced with limits. Jutras goes on to say, our government also takes people's right to privacy very seriously and strives to balance these competing rights. So the public has a right to information from public bodies, but there are limits or exceptions to those rights. Mendel points out that in naming those exceptions, New Brunswick's law appears to go by categories of information instead of the best practiced internationally, which is to consider specific interest or potential harms to those interests.
So privacy is an interest. The free and frank provision of advice within a public body is an interest. You know, the public bodies need their employees to speak freely. People have a right to privacy. But personnel investigations are not an interest. That's a category of information. And advice to a public body is, again, not an interest. It's a category of information. And interest should be protected against harm. So obviously the disclosure of private information automatically causes harm. But for example, when I talked about free and frank provision of advice, if the disclosure of the information would harm the free and frank disclosure of advice, not simply because advice was given, only if the disclosure would harm that. So the harm is a crucial a way of calibrating the exceptions so that they don't overwhelm the right of access.
And there's another balance to the exceptions that should be made under a good access to information law, according to Mendel, and that applies especially in the case of the Sackville Fire workplace report.
In any case, all exceptions should be subject to a public interest override. So where the public interest in disclosing the information outweighs the harm to the interest, the information should still be disclosed. This story, which is sparked by complaints of bullying and harassment, obviously has very, very important, involving a journalist furthermore, and has very important public interest benefits to it. So even if some private information was included, that would have to be very, very sensitive private information to outweigh this public interest. I don't know the underlying facts here, so I can't make that assessment, but I guess I would think it's not too likely.
Most of the time, exceptions to public access can be satisfied by simply redacting certain information from documents. In this case, the entire document, even the list of 20 recommendations for change that came out of it, have been held back by the Ombud and the town of Sackville.
That's always a bad sign where they just blanket refuse the whole thing, because even if some parts of it are sensitive, it's very unlikely that, there are cases, but most of the time, entire documents are not.
Mendel says that the need for access to information laws is rooted in basic human nature.
The Bruce Wark story shows that, you know, things happen inside of government, which government doesn't really want us to be knowing about and talking about. And access to information requests, just force government to be open where they don't really want to be. I mean, I think, you know, it's almost human nature to want to kind of hide things, especially embarrassing things. We need rules to force that not to happen.
New Brunswick's RTIPA gets a low grade on Mendel's RTI rating, but there's one province in Canada, not too far away, that passes with flying colors. Newfoundland and Labrador already had a good score when they decided to give their legislation a thorough review, with public comments and input from the Center for Law and Democracy. And now, Newfoundland and Labrador's law is a standout in Canada. New Brunswick's RTIPA is due for its own review this year, but there's no guarantee what shape that will take. Government spokesperson Erica Jutras says that information about the review will be made available in the coming months. Toby Mendel will no doubt be paying attention and pointing to Newfoundland and Labrador as an example of what's possible politically and practically.
I think the Newfoundland experience shows that these good laws are not something to be feared. You know, government hasn't fallen apart in Newfoundland because they have a good law. Instead, it just opened up a little bit and become probably closer to the people. So I think the Newfoundland example is a good one to showcase and to say, you know, why can't the rest of Canada do as well as that? It's working perfectly. I mean, they obviously have continuous arguments and battles and pushing and pulling over it, as is inevitable with this. But you know, basically the system is working well and delivering good results for both the government and the people of Newfoundland, and that shows that it should be done everywhere in Canada.
That's Toby Mendel, director of the Centre for Law and Democracy based in Halifax, Nova Scotia. To hear the full interview with Toby Mendel, as well as an interview with Bruce Wark, check out chmafm.com and look for our story, Access Denied.